Ron Van Dam, living proof that there is life after 40 for retired male strippers. Shake that thing, big dog, you still got it. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, what's your point?
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, the applause is deafening. Please sit down. Oh, my goodness. It is so deafening, the applause. I am so embarrassed by your adulation. Just bought a gallon of paint, white paint. I'm going to be painting my debt ceiling today. That's a political joke. Do you ever paint a wall and then sit there in a chair and watch the paint dry? Well, that's an analogy to life after 40. All right. Enough of the unbridled humor to start the show. It's unbridled. I have a very different show today. I have a special guest. We're going to be talking about a specific topic. I hope it meets your approval, because I do want your likes and your follows and things like that. Yeah, I'm groveling for social media involvement. I've been told by my social media manager, I know this is getting tired, I know it is. I've been told that I must get involved more in social media, and I said, why? And they said, just shut up and do it. Just shut up and do it. That means, like, I shouldn't understand, it doesn't matter, just shut up and do it. So that's what I'm doing. I'm doing what I was told to do. Just shut up and do it.
Shut up!
And do it.
Shut up!
And do it. So I will. Okay, before we get to our guest, which should be fascinating, I don't really know. How are you? How are you doing? How are you feeling? Are you all right? I'm a little concerned about you. And you got a little piece of meat hanging from your lower lip. Yeah, I think it's a lamb chop. Yeah, and you don't look like you're doing all right. Your eyelashes are, two of your little eyelashes are crossed over on the top, and it's driving me crazy. I can't look at you. There you go. I had lunch with an acquaintance yesterday. Don't do that. Don't have lunch with people. It's not a good thing. I've talked about this before as well. There's no reason. Sit across from somebody and watch them chew their cud. There's nothing going on there. Don't. Can I meet you for an hour? I can just sit across the table from you and we can watch each other chew our food. How about that? While we talk? Oh, God, please no. Please no. But, Ron, people have lunch and dinner socially with each other. I know. Where'd that come from? Was that from biblical times? What did Jesus, the Last Supper, no one sat on the other side of the table. Do you know why? Because Jesus knew. I'm not watching anybody else chew their food. I ain't doing that. I don't want anybody sitting in front of me. And that was the magic of Jesus, actually. The first, really, and the last, to recognize that I don't want to sit across from you and watch you chew your food. I mean, that's not lunch or supper. So no. All right. My guest will join us shortly. We're going to take a commercial break, which could be quite lengthy today. And then when we come back, my guest will be joining us. I think it's a plan. I do. This is what's going to happen, basically. So, whatever. If you have any questions for me, I'm not available for answers because I'm not going to listen to you. However, listen to Gary.
This episode of The Ron Van Dam Show is brought to you in part by Gary. You know him, you love him, it's Gary. Looking for a little help around the house? Give Gary a call. Painting, gutter repair, maintenance, Gary's your guy. Looking for a classically trained violinist? That's Gary. Does your kid's birthday party need a juggling magic clown? Gary's on his way. Can't perfect that chocolate souffle? Here comes Chef Gary. Tricky algebra problem got you stumped? Gary has the answer. Need a spleen donor in a hurry? Get Gary on the line. Want to start, continue, or complete your ninja training? Gary is here to help. Still wondering who murdered your rich uncle and why? Put Detective Gary on the case. Need an ancient Sumerian text translated? Give it to Gary. Trouble trimming your bonsai tree properly? Gary and his clippers are headed your way. Spouse unsatisfied in the bedroom? You could use a little Gary. Brought down a wild boar with a bow and arrow and need it expertly butchered? Sounds like a job for Gary. Need a rival bumped off? Gary knows a guy who knows a guy. Looking for a drag queen in a hurry? Gary's ready to sashay on over. Constipation? Time for Gary. Need a flamethrower for reasons you'd rather not discuss? Whoosh, Gary's got one. Thinking that maybe some unnecessary surgery is just what you need? Gary's removed more kidneys in a weekend than most doctors do all year. Wondering whatever became of your high school girlfriend? Gary knows right where the Witness Protection Program put her, and he has her number. Whatever you need, whenever you need it, and for whatever reason, you know who's your go-to. It's Gary. Gary is available 24/7 in all 48 contiguous U.S. states and by special arrangement for requests in Alaska, the U.S. Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, and Guam. Contacting Gary does not constitute a legally binding agreement or contract, and Gary cannot be held liable for any damages that occur in the course of fulfilling the request. Gary does not openly accept monetary compensation, although such compensation will be accepted if offered, and the acceptance of said compensation does not constitute a legally binding agreement or contract. Any arrangement with Gary will be considered null and void if you ever ask what his last name is.
Good morning.
Well, it's good to have you all here. Dr. J.C. Vandenberg is here. Great. Good to speak to you. And also Deborah LaPrevot. Is that correct? Very good. Thank you for being here. Both of you have impressive backgrounds, molecular physiology, biophysics, things I don't even understand. 20-year veteran of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Both of you have some great credentials. We're talking about something that has reached the interest of just about every living person on the planet, and that's all those UFO sightings that we're familiar with that are never talked about or in the past just written off as a lot of hot air balloons going on, a lot of weather balloons. Well, now images have been released, reports have been released, and we're turning to the both of you to help us understand what that is about. Let me start by asking, we're not talking about flying saucers necessarily, are we?
That is correct. We are really talking about observations of things that are unexplained. Mm-hmm. And that can be anything. We're seeing objects that we just cannot explain.
Right.
And it's really looking at patterns of that and how many people and how many different places these things are occurring.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily have to be the 1950s. Saucer,
right?
You know, that used to be captured. It's really a myriad of objects.
There has been a history of seeing objects in the sky that later turned out to be military testings, and thus used stealth bomber, for example, and many other military technology, air technologies that now we're familiar with. But at that time, we thought were unidentified flying objects to the public, and the government, of course, never responded to those. Is that what we're talking about, or is it beyond that?
It really could be both, in fact, because the thing is that when you have something that's unknown, you really need to figure out what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, 100% of everything isn't going to turn out to be something that you expect it to be.
Right.
You're going to have some stuff that eventually in time you're going to figure out, oh, that was an advanced technology that we weren't privy to the knowledge on. But that in itself is incredibly important for us to know,
mm-hmm.
especially when our government is releasing a report saying they don't even know what this stuff
right.
is. So we have no idea if it is an advanced technology that could pose a national security threat.
Right.
Versus something that is just unknown beyond our current physics.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that is very critical to what we're looking at these days and how the field has shifted, that we may have something that's just beyond our understanding and something that is uses physics that are beyond our current knowledge.
It was amazing.
To dovetail on to what Jennifer just
said. Yes, right? Go on.
To dovetail on to what Jennifer just said, whatever the phenomenon are, they're being photographed and images are being captured all over the world,
yes.
Which would seem to limit that it's one country's technology.
Yes.
Yeah, possibly. And that's the greatest concern, I guess, that we have is that it could be something that is threatening from another country. That's national security.
National security is of paramount importance, and one of the reasons that G2P, the Genesis 2 project, is focusing on the scientific approach to identifying or understanding what is being captured, both in digital and photographic mediums. But to go back to the fact that it's being, these images are being captured in multiple locations all over the world, it would indicate that it's very unlikely that a foreign government is testing this technology over U.S. Airspace.
Right. So that leaves the door open for even more questions, I suppose. What astounded me the most were the eyewitness reports of military and pilots and top experts in the field who actually witnessed some of these things themselves, and that they happen. I think one of the pilots said, this happens on a daily basis. It's every day we see these. That was kind of shocking.
Yes. And that's really what we have seen over this. We've had a focused 4-year data collection effort on UAP, documented UAP.
Mm-hmm.
And we are seeing that this is a daily occurrence. And this is happening with witnesses from the average citizen, such as, I'm not at liberty to give any names,
right.
But a licensed helicopter pilot or a high school teacher,
mm-hmm.
versus people that are very high level in in their field, pilots, military people, and all of these people are seeing stuff consistently and persistently.
Yeah.
I would venture to say that that's one of the reasons the Pentagon put out its report,
uh-huh.
is that these whatever they are being captured digitally and in video all over the world on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
and that the mounting amount of data being provided or being captured around the world is getting to a point where it's not the 1950s, one person had a blurry photograph.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of where we're at right now, because the thing is that, you know, previously there were people who had observed unexplained phenomena. But really, at that point, it was largely people sharing by word of mouth. And at that point, you don't have any data. You just have someone telling you something that they experienced.
Right.
And so really, your focus at that point just naturally is on the person and the story that they're telling, not actually what happened to
right.
them or what they observed.
Right.
And now, with this increase in our technology, really all of us, almost every single one of us, is carrying around a camera and a video recording device with us every single day. And I remember having read an article, I think it was in 2019, where they were saying 1.8 billion new images are uploaded every single day. And so now that we have this technology in our hands and people are actually documenting, they're able to document what they're seeing. There's also, you can't discount that the advances in our videographic and photographic technology, the advances that we have now are in our industry. So our military jets have more advanced
mm-hmm.
Technology in order to capture things
yes.
that they see, as well as even, you know, the different commercial industries. And at that point now, we have a critical mass of data. And so that's the point that we're at, and that's where G2P is so excited to be entering this field, is that really we have evidence now that we never had before, and we have data that we've never had before, which can now be assessed scientifically rather than just as a story someone is telling.
Interesting. What would one do with this data? I know that there are committees that are involved, but they're not the experts. So what does one do with it?
Well, I think with any data in science, there's always great potential with it. Mm-hmm. You typically start assessing a piece of data or an observation to follow a certain path that you're interested in, you're thinking about, which would be, of course, we're thinking with technology, with vehicles, with how things move. And however, as you get information and findings from scientific study, you start to understand how those things are applicable to other fields. So, for example, in studying these UAP that are being documented, these UAP are really, they're showing us movements that are beyond our physics. For example, the acceleration speeds are beyond anything that we know of.
Right.
The directionality. So you have something going in a certain direction, and it will make a 90-degree angle turn in the
right.
blink of an eye.
Right.
We don't have, as far as we know, we don't have that capability.
Right.
And when you're studying this kind of stuff, if you could use the information over a long period of study, if you could use your findings, what you could do, for example, is you could apply those findings to reverse engineer, say, a material, a micromaterial. And that micromaterial could be used in the human body for some kind of therapy. So really, in the study of these things, whatever they turn out to be, then we will be getting new knowledge. And new knowledge is always good, because when you have innovative thinkers in all different fields, they're able to recognize how that new knowledge is going to be able to be applied to their field and to benefit their field.
Interesting. There are two things working against each other, and I want to see if you fall in a category or if that's possible. One is that because we do all have cell phones and we have pictures readily available, we don't have to carry cameras around with us, they're always with us, that's why there are so many more images, because when sightings occurred in the past, there was no way to document them, as you said. They were just witnesses, and that was that. So my question is, are there indeed more, or are we able to see more that was always there, but we had no way of getting it to this level as far as discussion or proof is concerned? Also, on the other end of technology, every consumer has the ability to Photoshop pictures. Of course, eyewitness-wise, that's a different situation, but there can be a lot of that as well. So, I mean, which way is it, both ways, or which way is this going?
Well, with your first question, that's kind of the million-dollar question. Mm-hmm. There, how would we know that? At this point, it is possible that we are just capturing more.
Right.
That this really has been going on to the same extent, mm-hmm. this whole time, but now we're able to capture it.
Right.
That's a very, very likely possibility. The second thing that you brought up is very interesting, and that is something that we're very concerned with at GTP, and that's why we've very carefully structured our scientific approach,
mm-hmm.
to address that as well. And so with the GTP, we're really unique in the way that we approach this scientifically,
right.
from a bona fide empirical scientific approach.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, the very first step that we follow with any documentation that we're presented with is to have it digitally, forensically assessed.
Mm-hmm.
And we use one of the most reputable teams in the nation that work with our court systems. They work with the government, they work with the FBI, they work with police departments all across the nation. And what they do is they do forensic analysis of the digital image itself. And there's really two parts of that they're looking at. This is the very first step, is that they're looking at, was the image manipulated?
Right.
Is there any digital signature of photoshopping or even subtle enhancement, mm-hmm. you know, like that, that is considered manipulation.
Right.
And that would be like if you took a selfie and you, the light was a little low, but you
yes.
wanted to kind of change the light to bring out your face a little bit more.
Right.
That is still manipulation. Mm-hmm. So we need to ensure that these are the original photos and that these are photos or videos that they really represent what was captured, mm-hmm. what the image captured. And the second part of that is that it has to look at and see if the object that's in the object of interest that is in the photograph or the video, if that is actually just an artifact of the technology itself. We need to rule that out. Mm-hmm. Is this a lens flare from the sun? You know, and so there's really those are sort of the two key pieces. There's other parts that come into this, and I won't bore you with the details.
Oh,
but it's important also to say that what digital forensics analysis does is it doesn't tell you what something is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to interpret what they find.
Right.
It is strictly looking at the actual evidence and making sure of its integrity and its authenticity. At that point, then, we're able to move forward with something as a bona fide piece of data.
Okay. As far as this government is concerned and other governments around the world, it has always been the policy to explain it away as something simple so that you would say, okay, never mind, I thank you for explaining it. That seemed to, with this these revelations, these reports, it seems that they gave up on explaining things away, whether they could explain them away or not. In other words, explanations were given for things that they didn't have explanations for. It was in order to make the public feel like, okay, no, it's not a big deal here. I think you addressed this somewhat before, but where was that shift? When did that shift take place where, all right, we admit it, we don't know what these things are, we're not going to make excuses anymore?
I think that falls back into the aspect of it's being captured in so many areas by so many people every day
that
there's no longer the ability mm-hmm. to sweep it under a rug.
Yeah, but they wanted to sweep it under a rug, and I don't understand why they did.
The U.S. government, you know, it's always a very interesting thing. The first thing is that if it is, since they may or may not know what it is,
yeah.
first thing they want to do is figure out what it is and whose technology, if it's not our technology, whose technology is it?
Right.
And what threat, if any, does it apply to the United States?
Right.
So I think it's not so much that they want to sweep it under the rug as to put security of the U.S. first.
Right.
And by doing so, they say that, first, we need to know what we're talking about before we share that information.
Yeah.
And I think until recently, and even currently, we still don't know what we're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed to me that the secrecy was the blanket answer that no, that's probably ours, but we can't tell you about it because that's top secret, and we're working on it, and we can't discuss this. That was my interpretation of all those responses.
I think initially, in some ways, that is probably true.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, with the data that Jennifer and I have, and other people at G2P have gone through over
yes.
the last 4 years,
yes.
there are. It's not one or two mm-hmm. types of UAP. There are 100. There's a variety of shapes, sizes.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it's the TikTok, whether it looks like a. I mean, just something that shouldn't be flying,
mm-hmm.
something that seems to have no aerodynamic capabilities,
right.
and yet they're being captured photographically.
Right.
So there's the element there of it's not like we're just keeping a new bomber under wraps.
Right.
It's like this technology that's being captured has such a depth of variety
yeah.
that it just requires so much more investigation, and until we know what we're talking about, we'll just keep quiet. I think that might be one aspect of it.
All right. Well, I mean, it's
but I think it also has reached the critical threshold with so much. And, you know, when you have so many people seeing something or experiencing something, there comes a time
yeah.
that as an agency, you have to address it. You can no longer just ignore it. And I think that we've reached that critical threshold with so many people documenting these things and raising these questions, and with the myriad types of UAP that are being documented, then really it the quandary came up that needed to be addressed of so many people are asking this question. So many people are bringing forth documentation of it.
Yes.
We really can't explain it by saying, oh, it's a weather balloon, because a weather balloon would be have one shape, one type of movement.
Yep.
And that is not what we have anymore. And then also with that mass of data and the mass of people coming forward and talking, there also becomes almost a dangerous level when people just are speculating wildly, and then it becomes a conspiracy theory. And that can be dangerous in itself, too.
Yes.
And so I think that the government has been pushed to a point just by the mass of data itself that they have to address it, and they just have to say something. And at this point, I like the way that they said, you know, yes, some of it is explainable. We have looked into this. We are pretty sure it's this versus we have no idea what this is.
Right. Well,
and I think that kind of transparency is important for putting people's minds at ease.
Yeah.
I think that could be a strategy, a governing strategy, in a good way.
I mean, these are supposed to be the days of transparency as opposed to the conspiracy, which is what we went through for a period of time here. And you're right. I mean, the videos are very different than blurry single-shot photographs. Very, very different. Where would people go to get more information to hear more about this?
They could go straight to we have a website. It's www.genesis2project.com. Because we are a scientifically focused group, then we typically work with high-level scientists, and we are, we're not here to just spread a conspiracy theory or, we're not here for popular media or just, fluff. That's not what we're here for.
Gotcha.
And so really, when we release documented images, they have gone through digital analysis. They have been vetted. They have been authenticated. And so when we release information, we release it very carefully. And everything that comes out, we don't just get something and release it to the public. Everything has already gone through that very first step. Many of the things that we have that are gone through that first step are not released either, because at that point, we need certain people that are in positions of power, such as with the military, because, for example, we have this one very compelling piece of data where you can see a UAP going through a jet stream. So that is not a bird flying in front of the camera.
Right.
That is not something else, that we can explain. There is something that is going through a jet stream and disrupting it. So from that, our scientists are able to estimate size, estimate speed, because you have the plane going, we know that information. And so at that point, once we have scientists analyze it and also figure things out on it that are useful, then we'll release that information as well.
Very good. I greatly appreciate your time. This has been fascinating. Well, that'll do it for me today, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. Yeah, I know, a little different, but, whatever. You're old enough to make your own decisions, right? All right, I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program, but until that time arrives, I wish you peace.